Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, the Timberwolves have a new executive vice president of basketball operations. We'll talk about Matt Lloyd, his track record in Orlando with the Magic, and also with the Bulls in Chicago as well. We'll talk all about that new addition to the front office and also a little bit of a Patrick Beverley potential trade rumor. It's all coming up on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. Plenty to talk about in the show here today. First of all, big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can find this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also my account is at bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, today on the show, we're going to talk Matt Lloyd was announced, or I guess reported by Adrian Wojnarowski first from ESPN on Friday afternoon as the Timberwolves' new EVP of basketball operations, the first edition by Tim Connolly, who was first announced, officially introduced, I should say, by the Timberwolves last Tuesday as the new front office boss, the president of basketball ops. I want to talk about Matt Lloyd on the show. Eventually, I want to get into a little bit of a Patrick Beverley rumor. I think it's absurd, but it's an actual real rumor that about a team that's interested in trading for Patrick Beverley this offseason. And I think it's worth, especially with the new, essentially a new regime in the front office in Minnesota, it's worth the discussion there as well. So first, let's start with Matt Lloyd. This was announced on Friday. He was a name that was rumored back almost 2 weeks ago when Tim Connolly was first reported to be coming on board in Minnesota, not officially introduced. Or I should say, I guess it was after the Wolves issued a statement, a press release saying that they were hiring him. But before the introductory press conference, there were a handful of names mentioned by some national reporters as likely additions to the Timberwolves front office. Dell Demps, of course, the former New Orleans GM, was one of them. Another was Matt Lloyd, who's been in Orlando for a long time. So I want to talk a little bit about his past, his history, and then also his track record in Orlando, which is, it's maybe not quite as good as I'd like it to be, but obviously he's a well-respected executive. He's been at the Orlando Magic now for 10 years. Went to the Magic in 2012. And was mostly in charge of his charge was mostly scouting the draft, college scouting, also relationships with agents. He was listed by or mentioned by Adrian Wojnarowski as somebody who has strong relationships when it comes to to agents. Let me read the exact tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski on Friday afternoon. He said, "Lloyd comes well regarded with his tenacity and connections on the scouting trail and relationships with teams and agents in deal making. Lloyd joins Connolly now in a high ranking role to help transform the organization's basketball operations." And then, so that's the tweet from Woj on Friday. Prior to the 10 years in Orlando, Lloyd had spent 13 years in Chicago with the Bulls. He'd actually started in public relations, moved his way over to the basketball ops side, eventually was the director of college scouting, with Chicago before moving to Orlando about a decade ago. He actually was briefly the interim GM, interim in charge of the front office in Orlando in between general managers a couple of years ago, in between presidents of basketball ops. So he was very high ranking. He was promoted to the vice president role not that long ago in Orlando. Again, scouting, team relationships. The draft is obviously in his wheelhouse given his college scouting past. And that's why I want to talk about the Magic recent draft record here in a minute. Obviously, the Wolves have four picks this year. They've got the number 19. They've got three picks between 40 and 50 in the second round. So there's a lot for Lloyd to lock in Minnesota as he joins Connolly and Sachin Gupta and others in the front office. There's some semantics going on related to the hierarchy in the Timberwolves front office. Obviously, Tim Connolly's in charge. Sachin Gupta has the title of senior vice president, executive vice president. I think I might've said earlier that Lloyd is the EVP. I said that wrong. Sachin Gupta is actually the executive vice president of basketball operations in Minnesota. Lloyd's title is senior vice president. Now, in almost every instance, probably in every instance, actually, EVP is higher than SVP. It sounds crazy. It's weird. There's this debate going back and forth. I think initially Dane Moore had reported that Gupta would be the number three, or that was the assumption. And then Chris Hine from the Star Tribune was saying, well, actually EVP is ahead of SVP in hierarchy. But ultimately, I don't know that it matters. My guess is that they're both reporting to Tim Connelly anyway. I don't think that Gupta or Lloyd, I don't think one's reporting to the other. I think even if their titles are slightly different and perhaps Gupta's, you know, perhaps it is a little bit higher, but if they're both reporting, the hierarchies are both reporting to Connelly, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, Connelly is going to be the one making the decision. Gupta's background, of course, is more in analytics, whereas Lloyd's and Connelly's is more on the scouting side, the traditional, you know, college scouting side. So I don't know that that really matters. It's unclear what the actual rank and hierarchy is. And Connelly even said in his press conference, I think he said, I don't believe in employees, I believe in colleagues. So it's a very inclusive environment that Connelly is trying to foster. And Gupta has done the same thing. Everything that has, you know, come out of the, since he took over back when Gerson Rosas was fired last September, that's the environment that Gupta has fostered for the last, you know, 9 months or so anyway, is more inclusive, more collaborative than hierarchical. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're both reporting to Connelly anyway. And again, I'm not sure that it really matters. What I want to do next, I want to look at the record of Matt Lloyd in Orlando, a little bit about Chicago, just kind of based on what they did as a front office. Now, he was only briefly the final decision maker in Orlando, but he essentially ran their drafts for a long period of time. And they've drafted some notable names, but they've also made some questionable decisions over the past few years. Obviously, the Magic have only had like that one brief, you know, the bubble season. They had a couple of years there where there was some hope. And now they're right back down towards the bottom of the league. So there isn't a lot to write home about when it comes to the Orlando Magic. So I think it'll be an interesting trip down their draft page on Basketball Reference. We'll do that here next. First, let's talk about the title sponsors of today's program. And that, of course, is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's NBA Finals matchup, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC, all the way to boxing as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. By the way, live betting the NBA Finals is a ton of fun. It's fascinating now that this is, you know, Game 2 Sunday. But with the Celtics upsetting the Warriors in Game 1, it'll be really interesting to see how BetOnline.net, how the lines react on a game-by-game basis. But again, live betting the finals is probably, I'm going to say that's where it's at for this series. I think it's a ton of fun to try and guess the momentum and stuff like that in-game as the games are happening. You can head to the website today at BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Thanks again for making Lockdown Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder that there are plenty of other Lockdown podcasts to make your second listen. Also, I have an important favor to ask of you as the listener. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Lockdown podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Lockdown Podcasts. Go to LockedOnPodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long at all. And everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to LockedOnPodcast.com/survey. Thanks in advance for your help. All right, let's talk about Matt Lloyd's draft track record in Orlando. Before we get to Orlando, a quick mention, Dane Moore of the Dane Moore NBA podcast had tweeted out on Friday, I think it was, that in asking around, he discovered that back when Matt Lloyd was with the Bulls, he had a pretty big hand in the Jimmy Butler selection. I believe Butler was the 29th pick. It was end of the first round, you know, back, I guess, a little over a decade ago now. It was what, the 2010, 2011 draft, maybe 2011, I think. And it was shortly before Lloyd moved to Orlando, but he had a big hand in drafting Jimmy Butler. Of course, Butler was kind of a more of a defensive player, didn't have a very polished offensive game at all coming into the league. He didn't do much at all the first couple of years in Chicago as kind of a deep bench guy, but ended up, of course, now being a superstar, a multi-time all-star, an all-NBA guy, somebody who has a couple of times now led his team to the conference finals. And Matt Lloyd apparently had a big hand in that, which is fantastic. If we look at the Orlando Magic draft record, it's not exactly my favorite draft record. I wanted it to be better because, you know, you just think about it generally. It's like, oh, okay, Aaron Gordon, good pick. Jonathan Isaac obviously would be his best selection. Now, of course, Isaac hasn't played in 2 years because of the knee injury. But Aaron Gordon eventually was traded. Victor Oladipo was drafted there, was eventually traded. We'll talk more about that in a minute. More recently, Mo Bamba was a fantastic draft pick. Fantastic's maybe too strong, but sixth overall out of Texas in 2018 has been a very good NBA player. And it's hard to complain about that pick. I mean, this year, Franz Wagner was a good pick. He had a really good rookie season. And that was eighth overall. They had two picks in the top eight because of the trade when they got Wendell Carter Jr. from the Bulls. The Nikola Vucevic trade is how they got their second top eight pick in last year's draft. However, they picked Jalen Suggs fifth, who I liked as a prospect. Of course, the Minnesota native. He's a defense first guy. He did not have a great rookie season. He had some injuries. I think it was an ankle for much of the year. So we'll see how he performs in year two. But early returns, I mean, Wagner had a better season than Suggs. I mean, I guess they were both lottery picks. But Cole Anthony was never the biggest Cole Anthony fan, either as a prospect or so far a couple of years into his career in the league. He was 15th overall in 2020. That was following the bubble season when they surprised everybody late in the 1920 season. And Cole Anthony, for me, I think he's a bit overrated. Too much of a volume scorer, not a great defender. Didn't love that pick. Chuma Okeke, the year prior in 2019, a fine NBA player. I like him overall. If you're drafting at 16, you could do a lot worse. That's not bad. It was also the same year, though, they essentially sold their second round pick. They got a future pick and some cash from the Lakers for Talen Horton Tucker, and THT's been pretty good for the Lakers. Now, those are often determined a little bit in advance, so, you know, no telling. It's not like they drafted Talen Horton Tucker and then said, let's trade him to the Lakers. The trade would have been arranged ahead of time, you know, even if it was a handful of picks ahead of time. But I mean, the year before that was Mo Bamba. They also coincidentally drafted and traded Jared Vanderbilt to the Denver Nuggets. Of course, that was Lloyd trading him to Connolly when he was with Denver, and then Connolly traded him to Minnesota. And now they're both together in Minnesota with Jared Vanderbilt. And there's another player, by the way, who's currently on the Timberwolves roster. Same thing, Jake Layman. I guess he was traded to Portland, not to Connolly, but Jake Layman was initially a Magic draft pick back in 2016, was traded to Portland. Of course, he'll be an unrestricted free agent and is pretty unlikely to be back in Minnesota this summer. But you go all the way back to the start of Matt Lloyd's tenure in Orlando. And I mean, you get into the Mario Hezonja pick in 2015, which, by the way, it'd be easy to kill Lloyd for that pick. I don't hate the Mario. I mean, obviously in hindsight, Hezonja was not a good NBA player, but you look at the 2015 draft, it, first of all, one of my least favorite things is saying, oh, I can't believe he picked this guy. Look at all the good players that were drafted after him. Super easy to say in hindsight. Of course, the odds are higher that there's going to be a pick you miss on than a pick you hit on, right? If you draft at five, there's what, 55 guys drafted after that. Of course, there's a high likelihood there's going to be two, three, four really good players that you simply just missed, right? I mean, that I don't think that's necessarily a fair argument. And we can complain about some of the other stuff Lloyd's done, and I'm going to here in a minute, but the Hezonja pick, I mean, that's not awful. Look at the rest of that draft, right? That was the Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell draft 1-2, Jahlil Okafor, everyone knew he was going to go third. Kristaps Porzingis went fourth. I mean, look who's on the board for the Magic. They draft Hezonja at five. Willie Cauley-Stein went after him. Obviously, he's had a better NBA career, but he's far from a superstar. Emmanuel Mudiay, you could argue a bust, was ironically drafted by Tim Connolly at pick seven. Stanley Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, Justice Winslow had a couple of really strong years, but never became what people wanted him to be. Miles Turner, obviously at 11, would have been a great pick. Devin Booker at 13. But again, 12 teams passed on Devin Booker. It took him 4 or 5 years to be a genuinely positive NBA player. And then you get beyond that, you get down into Kelly Oubre Jr., Terry Rozier, Jerian Grant. But now we're like really deep into this list of players, right? Like, you're down into the 20s before you get to Tyus Jones. That was just not a very good draft outside of Karl-Anthony Towns and I guess D'Lo and Kristaps Porzingis in the top four. Really hard for me to get too worked up about the Hezonja pick. Everybody knew he had massive upside. Just didn't work out in the NBA for Mario Hezonja. The year prior to that was Aaron Gordon. Victor Oladipo was, I believe, his first draft in Orlando in 2013. So the draft record is a little spotty, but they've also traded a bunch of guys. And that's where it gets a little bit dicier. And it's hard to really parse how much of these trades was Matt Lloyd, right? Because if he's mostly college scouting, he obviously had his hand in some deal making, as Woj mentioned on Twitter. He obviously had some say in some of this stuff. But there were some moves that are a bit questionable. I mean, the Oladipo trade, when Oladipo and the draft pick that became Domantas Sabonis were both traded to Oklahoma City, that was a deal that was Oladipo and Sabonis to Oklahoma City for Serge Ibaka, who they then turned around and traded later that same season or later that following season. He spent less than a year in Orlando. They thought they were ready to add a win now piece in Serge Ibaka, and they traded Oladipo and Sabonis to Oklahoma City. And then, of course, Oladipo only played one season with the Thunder. He was then moved to Indiana as part of the Paul George trade. Now, it's really not defensible, but in the defense of Matt Lloyd, Victor Oladipo had been a little bit disappointed in his first two or three years as a high lottery pick. What was he, like the fourth overall pick, I believe, that season in 2013? Oh, sorry, second overall in 2013. He was good, not great in his first two or three years. It seemed like he was going to be more of a rotation starting caliber guy than a true star. So if you think you're getting somebody who could still develop into a star in Serge Ibaka, which it was borderline given where Ibaka was in his career at that point, but to also trade the pick that becomes Domantas Sabonis. Now, of course, both Oladipo and Sabonis have made all-star teams since that trade. Oladipo did not do it in Oklahoma City, but he did it before the injury with the Pacers. In hindsight, trading two all-stars for 55 games or whatever it was of Serge Ibaka is not great. Again, Matt Lloyd was not the final decision maker there, but obviously was in the room, was part of those discussions, was part of that conversation when those moves were ultimately made. And you know, the Hezonja pick, I guess, would be the other one. But you go down the list and Orlando just, there's a reason they haven't been very good for the last decade. They've made the playoffs, I believe, twice maybe in the last 10 years. And Matt Lloyd was there the entire time. Yep, twice is correct. Since 2012, they made it back to back. They won 42 games in 18-19. Then they won 33 and made it into the bubble. And then the first round of the playoffs in the 19-20 season with Steve Clifford as the coach. So twice in the last 10 years under Matt Lloyd. I don't, it's again, very hard to parse how much he's involved in all these ultimate decisions, but it's undeniable that the Magic just haven't been very good. The track record over the last decade hasn't been any better really than the Timberwolves. I mean, I guess it's been exactly the same in terms of number of times they've made the playoffs. They won 21 games a year ago. They won 22 games this year. The year before they won 42, they just won 25 games. They've only won 30 or more games three times in the last decade. And really, ever since Stan Van Gundy left way back in 2012, which, again, was right before Matt Lloyd joined the front office, the Magic have been really disappointing. And we can cherry pick some of his better picks, and there certainly are some. It'll be interesting to see what, and like I mentioned earlier, what the hierarchy is in Minnesota, what his input is ultimately, and what Sachin Gupta and Tim Connolly and this new look front office does, which, by the way, is not a bad segue into the Patrick Beverley conversation. There's an actual source rumor out there about the Miami Heat being interested in Patrick Beverley. And we're not even truly into the offseason yet. Obviously, the Wolves have been in offseason mode now for a month, but we're still a couple weeks away from the draft, 2.5 weeks away from the draft. But this is kind of right towards the end of the finals, start of the draft, is when some of these deals could come together, especially if they involve picks for this year's draft. And of course, just prior to free agency, we're less than a month now away from free agency. So let's talk a little bit about this Patrick Beverley rumor here next. All right, so this rumor cropped up over the weekend. It is a rumor by Sean Devaney over at Heavy.com. Of course, Sean Devaney's been an NBA reporter at various sites for a long time. He talked to an Eastern Conference executive who said, I'm going to read the exact quote here. The quote from the executive is, "The Heat would love to get Patrick Beverley. The Timberwolves, obviously they love what he brought last year, but if they could sell high, they might be willing to give him up. They have a new regime," and obviously referring to Tim Connolly, "so they can look at things a little more realistically," end quote. Now, I don't really know what more realistically means. That would suggest they weren't being realistic last year, but that doesn't make sense because they traded for Patrick Beverley last year and extended him to a really reasonable $13 million one-year extension. So I don't know why Tim Connolly joining the fold would suddenly make the Wolves say, "Oh, we should trade Pat Bev," you know, mere months after extending him. It's the same head coach, it's the same number two in charge in Sachin Gupta, the same ownership, the same roster since they extended him. Nothing's changed. The same coaching staff overall. Like, to me, there's no reason. And also, I would also beg to differ with the characterization of selling high. Patrick Beverley had his worst 3-point shooting year of his career this year, and he's 33. So, like, the only way you could really argue that this makes sense is if the Heat were willing to give up a bunch to get Patrick Beverley, because he has an expiring deal. But the Wolves intentionally only gave him a one-year deal so that they could maintain that flexibility moving forward. They could have more cap space next year, the summer of 2023, when there's a good free agent class. They've got D'Lo coming off the books. They've now got Beverly coming off the books. You've got more than max salary coming off the books. They're not going to take salary back in a Patrick Beverly trade. He's also a starter for them. So, I mean, if Miami wants Patrick Beverly, they're going to have to give up more than what they would give up for Patrick Beverly. Like, I really don't understand. Like, I get it. He fits what Miami does. He fits their culture, right? He fits the hard-nosed defensive culture. He fits what Jimmy Butler does, obviously, for the Miami Heat. I also, the dynamic with Butler and Beverly would, in this scenario, be absolutely fascinating. Either they would be the best teammates together, or they would absolutely not get along and they would just butt heads. I don't really know which direction that goes. Of course, Pat Bev says, and this is noted in the heavy.com article, that Beverly recently said on TV that Butler, quote, can't be the best player on a title team. So something tells me Jimmy isn't going to forget that. But I just don't know. Like, the name floated here is Duncan Robinson. Of course, the Heat gave him a big extension, and then he proceeded to fall out of the rotation this year. And Duncan Robinson's a good player. He's overpaid for what he is. He would fit the Wolves in terms of a guy who is just a complete knockdown three-point shooter. But his game isn't well-rounded enough to just plug and play him with Minnesota, certainly not at that salary and certainly not at the expense of Beverly. You can't trade your, you know, the linchpin of your defense. You know, they're certainly one of their top one, two, three defenders in Patrick Beverly, even at 33 years old. You can't simply take him out and replace him with a bad defender in Duncan Robinson and a ton more salary committed next year and beyond. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the only way it makes sense is if the Wolves, for some reason, are also high on Duncan Robinson. And don't get me wrong, good player, not worth the contract he's on, and fell out of the rotation for the Eastern Conference Finals team this year after they gave him the big extension, which means they really didn't want him anywhere near the floor because they were paying him a ton of money. And they still left him on the bench. I don't know how you take a good defender, replace him with a bad defender, take on the salary, and can justify that. Unless Miami's also setting multiple picks, but again, they're a good team, so they're not going to be good picks. So maybe you get some picks back. I don't know. I mean, the salaries work. Like, you could do it basically straight up, I think, Beverly for Duncan Robinson. But why? I just don't understand. Now, I get why Beverly fits in Miami. Pat Riley drafted Patrick Beverly, you know, many years ago. I think he was a second round pick by Miami. And so there's some familiarity there. But, and also, if you leave Duncan Robinson off the table, like, in addition to Robinson, what else is Miami going to give up to Minnesota? Is there anything else on that roster that they would be willing to trade that the Wolves would want to take back? Like, obviously, Bam Adebayo is not going anywhere. Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry. I mean, PJ Tucker's got a player option this year. The Wolves would like PJ Tucker. He fits with Karl-Anthony Towns, but he's not the reason you make this trade. He's like 38 years old. He's got a year left if he picks up the player option. Tyler Hero's not likely to go anywhere. The rest of that roster is kind of fringe rotation type guys and smaller salaries, right? I mean, there's potentially some young, intriguing pieces at the end of their bench. But again, why? Like, keeping Patrick Beverly, running it back this year with potentially a D'Lo trade and some other, you know, what else are you doing on the fringe, on the edges of the roster for Minnesota? But if the team falls out of contention or whatever happens midseason, you could always flip Patrick Beverly at the trade deadline if you really wanted to and get something for him. Because if the season goes completely haywire, there will be value for Patrick Beverly at the trade deadline. But if it doesn't, he's exactly the guy you want on your team when you go to the playoffs, as we saw this year. He brings a ton of value. So I think this is a nothing rumor. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of teams that would love Patrick Beverly at that salary. It remains weird that the Clippers essentially just gave him up and then Memphis literally gave him up for almost literally nothing. Jarrett Culver and Juancho Hernangómez, who they turned around and traded to Boston. Like, the fact that Beverly changed hands so many times in the offseason last summer was weird, but he loves it being in Minnesota. Minnesota loves having him on the roster. They just extended him. And again, nothing's changed. There's no motivation for Minnesota to trade him to Miami unless they love Duncan Robinson and or Miami will, you know, overpay in terms of draft picks or what have you. I just don't see this as a thing. So don't worry about it. I don't think it's going to happen. It's a legitimate rumor, apparently, given where it's coming from, but I wouldn't pay it much mind. I don't think it's going to happen. All right. That's all we have for you in the show today. Moving forward this week, we're talking NBA draft. I mentioned this last week. The Locked On NBA mock draft is underway. I made my selection last week. We're working on putting that all together and putting that out there in the coming days. So pay attention for that. We'll also go through some additional mock drafts from around the internet this week. I'll give my thoughts on some players who I think could be on the board at number 19 and who I think the Wolves should and should not take. So that's all upcoming on the show here in the next several days and next couple of weeks. Otherwise, thanks for making Locked On Wolves your first listen once again. Thank you for listening every single day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.